Well, this week we're in our final week of the appraisal series, and as we look at our theme for this week, relationships management, we're going to focus in on an attitude that couldn't be further removed from the world in which we live and in which we work, the attitude of submission. I'm actually going through the appraisal process myself at work at the moment, and in our work appraisal form, the word submission is nowhere to be seen. The closest thing I could find was where I have to score myself on my sensitivity to people and politics. For the world, submission has become a dirty word. It's a sign of weakness, patheticness even. Life is all about demanding your rights and fighting back when you feel you've been wronged. All around us are examples of those who stand up to authority, those for whom submitting to the boss is simply not the done thing. So whether it's Jack Bauer and James Bond and their fast and loose approach to authority in the TV shows and films we watch, or the celebrities who fill our newspapers, or indeed the colleagues we sit next to at work. Life is full of those who choose to ignore authority. In fact, I'd go so far to say that our culture even admires them. It's an attitude that enables the rapper Dizzy Rascal to openly say this when he was asked about drugs in the Observer newspaper. He said this: if I'm around certain people, they're smoking weed and I want to get the vibe, I do it. I've popped a couple of pills, but I've never done cocaine, I've never done heroin. You see, for Dizzy Rascal, it's all about what he wants. He lives by his rules. If he wants to do something, then he does it. He doesn't listen to, he doesn't submit to authority. But as we had these verses read for us in 1 Peter, and as we look at the basis they provide for Christian relationships, very quickly we realise that a change is required from the attitude that the world around us has adopted. A change is required. So firstly, Peter tells us that a change is required in our relationship with authority. If you look down at me with verse 13, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. And Peter is very clear about this duty. It is every authority, whether the king or his governors. Peter clearly recognises that the authority of earthly rulers is part of the order that God has created. That God has created these patterns of authority for the orderly functioning of human life. These authorities are, verse 14, sent by him, that is God, to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. And because of this, as Christians, Peter tells us that we must submit ourselves to them. And there's a simplicity to what Peter is saying, a simplicity that makes it very clear exactly what we're to do. God has instituted these authorities, and therefore we must obey them. And as Christians, this is easy where there is a clear line. In those aspects where the vast majority of the population submit, whether they're Christian or not, so whether that be stealing or even stopping at traffic lights. Where it is much harder is when society starts to blur the lines. My wife and I are currently in the process of trying to buy a house. And we recently had an offer in on a place, and we reached a point in the bidding where we and another buyer both had exactly the same offer in. However, neither us or the other buyer particularly wanted to offer any more money because of the stamp duty limits, which would have meant that an offer of even only a pound more, well, it would have resulted in thousands of pounds more tax. Well, knowing this, the estate agent told us that the vendor would gladly accept some cash on top of the formal sum, thereby avoiding any additional tax. And for a moment, if I'm honest, well, this seemed like an appealing option. It seemed like a sensible solution. But there was no way that we could follow through with this. You see, whilst I would never not consider paying my income tax through my salary, the temptation to avoid paying tax in other ways, in ways that everyone else seems to be getting away with, well, that's only too real. But as Christians, we must submit, verse 13, to every authority instituted among men, and not just those ones that the world around us chooses to. Well, the simplicity of what Peter says does leave us some questions, particularly about where do we draw the line as Christians? Where do we maybe need to disobey an earthly authority? And on this, I think it's worth making a couple of points quickly. The first is that there are occasions in the Bible where God's people have disobeyed a human government and been approved by God for doing so. We don't have time to look at these now, but just for reference, we see this in Exodus and Daniel, and then in Acts in the New Testament. And the key principle that can be drawn from these passages is that we are to submit to an earthly authority up to the point at which it would lead us or command us to sin. We're to submit up to the point at which it would lead us or command us to sin. But the second thing to say on where Christians draw the line is that in these verses, Peter makes it clear that the Christian's responsibility is towards all forms of rightful human authority, whether the Christian agrees with the policies or even likes the people in authority. You see, we could spend our time this morning thinking up hypothetical situations where it would be right for us as Christians to disobey authority. But in reality, and if we're honest, these situations will be few and far between. More often than not, we want to rebel against authority either because we don't like the people who are in power, we've seen them abuse their power, or because it affects us personally. We want to get away with something else. And it was exactly the same for Peter. Peter was writing this letter under the reign of Nero, a man who was notorious for persecuting and killing Christians. Therefore, the excuse that, well, if Peter was writing now, he'd be saying something different, it just doesn't wash. God expects Christians to be subject to human authorities who are neither believers nor even necessarily morally upright. So whilst we must exercise discernment in our relationship to human government and only submit up to the point at which it would lead us to sin, our freedom in Christ, can you see verse 16, is not Christian license to do what we want and cannot be used, can you see, as a cover-up for evil. Verse 17, we must show proper respect to everyone. Well, having said this, Peter then moves on to tell us the attitude that we have at the national scale. Well, it's also required at the individual workplace scale. Look down with me at verse 18. Slaves, submit, it's the same word again, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect. The Greek word Peter uses here for slaves is perhaps better translated, as the English Standard Version of the Bible does, as servants. You see, the word that Peter uses refers to those who provided services in the household. And in the first century, these roles included managers and trained members of various professions. So whilst the word employee doesn't reflect the absence of freedom that these groups had, it does reflect their economic status, they were paid for what they did, and their skill levels. And it was a status that about 80% of the population at the time would have fallen into. And as such, again, there is no escaping Peter's simple and logical teaching and its application for our lives today. So let's look at what Peter has to say and appraise ourselves against these criteria. The key challenge for us as we apply this teaching is not simply, do you submit and show respect to your boss? But rather, do you submit and show respect to your boss even when he is harsh? Can you see verse 18? Submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, that is easy, Peter could add, but also to those who are harsh. That is the challenge. As a consultant, I work on a number of different projects throughout the year, and each of these assignments has a director, the overall boss for that piece of work. And on some projects, the director is great. It is honestly a real pleasure to work for them, to submit to their authority. If they ask you to do a task, no matter how menial it may seem, you're willing to do it because you respect them and you trust them. And not only that, but they're kind and they're considerate and they appreciate what you do. However, on other projects, the director is, to put it kindly, a nightmare. They're harsh, they're aggressive, they show little consideration for you, and frankly, as a result, you have little respect for them. And it is a real struggle to submit to their authority. And when I'm working on one of these projects, and I've been really challenged by this as I've been preparing this, when I work on one of these projects, I find myself slipping into a mode of operation where to their face I will show respect, I will submit to their authority. However, as soon as I'm with other colleagues and I'm out of their earshot, well, that submission and respect, it simply disappears. And shamefully, the change can be stark. So one minute I'm in a meeting and it's all, yeah, sure, no problem, whatever you need. And then it's out to lunch with a colleague, and the second the lift door closes as we leave the office, it becomes, they're doing my head in. You wouldn't believe what they've asked me to do. I don't know what position you find yourselves in at work. Maybe you have a great boss. Maybe your boss is harsh. Or maybe, like me, it can change regularly. But you see, there is no promise that Christians in the workplace will be treated fairly. Look down at verse 19. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering. We will suffer in the workplace, but as we do, Peter tells us that we must continue to submit, continue to show respect. And this is a massive challenge, especially as the default position for the vast majority of our colleagues will be that you're a victim if you suffer, and therefore you deserve to defend your rights. But disobedience should be the last resort, because for most of us, again, if we're honest with ourselves, our rebellion towards our bosses, well, it comes from a sort of selfish ambition, a belief that we think we know better. But why? Why should we submit? Why should we live like this? And why is it so important? Well, let's look at what Peter has to say in response to both of these questions. So firstly, what is the reason for change? Why should Christians manage their relationships differently? Peter's reason for the Christian to have this attitude of submission is clearly sprinkled throughout this passage. We submit, can you see, verse 13, for the Lord's sake. Verse 15, for it is God's will. And verses 19 and 20, for it is commendable. And when you pull all of these together, it is clearly apparent that living like this is part of God's sovereign purpose. It is part of the order and structure that he has created, and therefore part of his good and perfect will for us. We should live like this out of respect for, and verse 17, fear for God, and our desire to do his will and honour him. How we relate to others is therefore part and proof of our submission to God. It is how we show our love and loyalty to him, not just in our hearts, but practically in the relationships we have with others. So that's the reason for change. But secondly, why is change so important? Why do we need to change how we manage our relationships? Well, the first reason, can you see verse 15, is to silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. I am sure that your colleagues will say all sorts of things about Christianity and about Jesus, the majority of which may be negative and damning. Our colleagues will believe all sorts of myths. They'll have all sorts of distorted views. But Peter is very clear again. As Christians, it is important how we manage our relationships, because doing so, well, it will silence this ignorant talk. If people know that we are Christian, then we need to be good employees. We need to relate to the boss differently, because whether we like it or not, our colleagues will take their view of Christianity directly from how we act in the workplace. They will extrapolate from our lives to all Christians. And Peter builds heavily on this with his second reason for why this change is important in verses 19 and 20. Let me read those to us. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and endure it, this is commendable before God. For Peter, the behaviour of the Christian worker is key. This is not simply about taking grief from the boss that you deserve. You get no credit for that, Peter tells us. No, this is about taking grief that we don't deserve. The abuse that is, verse 19, unjust. But living like this, we see, is commendable. So whilst an attitude of submission may sound completely ineffective, Peter is very clear that it is in fact incredibly powerful. It is revolutionary. It will change people's lives. 2 weeks ago in Iowa, a high school American football coach called Ed Thomas was killed in the gym at his school by a former pupil. Another former pupil, who actually now plays professional American football in the NFL, he said this to the national press. Coach Thomas was very special to me and many other young men. His legacy for many will be associated with his tremendous success as a football coach. However, I believe his greatest legacy comes not in how many football games he won or lost, but in the fact that he was a committed follower of Jesus Christ. He lived his life trying to exemplify this faith and convey those values to those under his influence. His faith in Christ pervaded everything he did. His faith in Christ pervaded everything he did. The relationships we have and how we manage them matter. And an attitude of submission will point people to Christ. And that is why it is so important. So we've seen that in our relationships a change is required. We've seen the reason for this change and its importance. Now as we close, let's look at what Peter has to say about the power to change. For Peter, the life of submission and the unjust suffering that will result is not just fate, but rather it is our calling. Verse 21. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. A life of submission is our calling because it was Christ's. And as he teaches this, Peter weaves two themes together as he gives us the examples of Christ's suffering to show us and remind us of the saving purpose of this suffering. In verses 22 to 23, Peter lays out in detail the pattern of life left by Christ. Verse 22, he was completely innocent, had committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. However, verse 23, this didn't prevent insults, but Christ didn't retaliate. Rather, he submitted himself fully to the Father. Can you see? Entrusting himself to him who judges justly. It was a submission, verse 24, that ultimately led to his death on the tree. Peter is clear. It is Christ's suffering and his attitude of submission that should be the root of our motivation to submit. We should submit because of what Christ has done for us. And we're only going to be able to do this if we understand that actually our consciousness of God, verse 19, our awareness of what he has done for us, well, if we see that as greater than the sufferings we're enduring, if our consciousness of God is greater than our perceived rights in the workplace, our lives will only change if we trust more in God's eternal plans than our day-to-day circumstances. Our lives will only change if we trust more in God's eternal plans than our day-to-day circumstances. And through this passage, Peter has put all of our social and work lives directly in relation to God, because he wants us to know and understand that it is only by looking at the cross and thinking about what Christ did for us, the suffering he went through on our behalf, verse 24, in bearing our sins, in taking the punishment that we rightly deserve. It is only by looking at that that we will want to live out these changed lives. It is the cross where the power to change lies. It is the cross where the transforming power lies. It is the cross, verse 25, can you see, that stops us being like sheep going astray and enables us to be in relationship with God. At the end of the verse, return to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So as we head back to work, can I leave you with two questions by way of conclusion? Firstly, for those of you here today who would call yourselves a Christian, well, can I ask you, where in your life do you need to be more conscious of God in your submission to authority? Where in your life do you need to be more conscious of God in submission to authority? Maybe you could discuss that over lunch with friends, or take the question to your discussion with your appraisal partner. And secondly, well, for those of you who would maybe say, I'm not yet a Christian. Well, thank you very much for coming. And can I ask you, what do you make of Jesus' submission? What do you make of his willingness to die and suffer for our wrongdoing, even though he himself had done no wrong? Well, as you think about that question, maybe later today or over the coming weeks, can I encourage you to maybe think about coming along to a course we run here called Christianity Explored, a course that will help you to find out more about who Jesus was and why he did willingly die for us, why he did submit and that led him to death. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Jesus. We thank you for what that example shows us, that you sent your Son to die for us. Lord, we're sorry when we don't submit, when our arrogance prevents us from doing that. And we just pray, Lord, that over the coming weeks, our consciousness of you and what you've done for us through Jesus will grow, and it will enable us to live these transformed lives for your glory. Amen.